Abraham Lincoln, Chapter 4, Lawyer and Citizen in Springfield. In 1836, Lincoln was elected for his second term in the legislature. When this term closed, 1837, he went back to New Salem, where he had lived for nearly 6 years. But he did not stay long, for he had determined to take up the practice of law in Springfield. Major Stuart, his advisor and friend, had invited him to come into his office as partner. This was an excellent opening for Lincoln, for Major Stuart held a leading place among the lawyers and politicians of the state and could therefore be helpful to him in securing business. Lincoln had already been twice associated with Stuart in ways that brought him closely into touch with each other, for while Lincoln was captain of the company of volunteers in the Black Hawk War, Stuart was major in the same regiment, and both men had been elected as Whigs in 1834 to represent Sangamon County in the state legislature. It was during that campaign that Stuart advised Lincoln to become a lawyer, and after the election, Lincoln took up the study of law seriously, although he had read law more or less before this time. In the autumn of 1836, he received his license to practice law, and in April of the following year, he was ready to go to Springfield, which had now become, largely through his own influence in the legislature, the capital of the state. So he packed his scanty clothing and few effects into his saddlebags and, borrowing a horse, left the place where life had held for him so much more of sorrow than of joy. It was with some doubt as to the wisdom of his act that he gave up surveying, for he was making a fairly good living in that work, while success in the practice of law was as yet uncertain. His money obligations, too, were heavy. Very little of his store debt had been paid, and his father's family needed far more assistance from him than he could afford to give. On arriving in Springfield, he was much cast down. He was in one of his moods of deep depression and melancholy. He went directly to the store of his friend Joshua Speed, a prosperous young merchant, who tells in his own words the story of what happened as follows. Lincoln had ridden into town on a borrowed horse, with no earthly property save a pair of saddlebags containing a few clothes. I was a merchant at Springfield and kept a large country store, embracing dry goods, groceries, hardware, books, medicines, bedclothes, mattresses, in fact, everything that the country needed. Lincoln came into the store with his saddlebags on his arm. He said he wanted to buy the furniture for a single bed, the mattress, blankets, sheets, coverlet, and pillow, according to the figures made by me, would cost $17. He said that perhaps was cheap enough, but small as the price was, he was unable to pay it. But if I would credit him till Christmas and his experiment as a lawyer was a success, he would pay then, saying in the saddest tone, "If I fail in this, I do not know that I can ever pay you." As I looked up at him, I thought then, and I think now, that I never saw a sadder face. I said to him, "You seem to be much pained at contracting so small a debt. I think I can suggest a plan by which you can avoid the debt and at the same time attain your end. I have a large room with a double bed upstairs, which you are welcome to share with me." "Where is your room?" said he. "Upstairs," said I, pointing to a pair of winding stairs which led from the store to my room. He took his saddlebags on his arm, went upstairs, set them on the floor, and came down with the most changed expression of countenance. Beaming with pleasure, he exclaimed, "Well, Speed, I am moved." Lincoln was fortunate in being associated as partner with a man so prominent as Major Stuart, for this partnership of itself helped to give him a good standing in the community. From the first, he was willing to do his part as a citizen of Springfield, and took an interest in all phases of the community life. Here, too, as in New Salem, he easily made friends of all because he was helpful and took a kindly interest in the life of those about him. He recognized everybody he met on the street, and he seemed to have time to talk with any friend or neighbor who was in a talkative mood. Moreover, he took an interest in everything going on, in every house that was built, in every street that was opened. He joined a group of young men in forming a debating club, and in other ways he played his part in the intellectual life of the town, which then contained about 1,500 people. He was also more or less identified with the social life about him, although this was not the kind of life that appealed to him most. Within 2 years from the time he went to Springfield to live, he met a young woman belonging to a prominent Kentucky family. This was Miss Mary Todd. She was now making her home with her sister, who was the wife of Ninian Edwards, one of Lincoln's political friends. The Edwards family was one of influence in Springfield. Miss Todd, who was proud-spirited and ambitious for a social position, took a leading part in the social life of the town. Brought up among the refinements of life, and being brilliant, witty, and well-educated, she received attention from many young men. It was soon evident, however, that Mr. Lincoln held the first place in her esteem. The friendship between Lincoln and Miss Todd grew rapidly, but Mr. and Mrs. Edwards opposed her accepting Lincoln as a suitor. They said he had been brought up in a poor and humble home, that he was careless about social forms and indifferent to social life. But the young woman knew her own mind. She seemed to believe, after a brief acquaintance with the awkward young lawyer, that he would in time fill positions of large influence in his state and country. She even predicted that he would become President of the United States. Sometime in 1840, Abraham Lincoln and Miss Todd became engaged to be married. It was not long before there was more or less disagreement between the two lovers, so different were they in experience, tastes, and ambitions in life. Lincoln's world was not that of society, and therefore in certain little ways that count in social life, he was lacking. He often failed, for instance, to go with Miss Todd to social gatherings, thereby causing misunderstandings which sometimes led to quarrels between the two. And it did not take long for Lincoln to learn that lovemaking with this brilliant, proud young woman was not all sunshine. There were many stormy experiences, and he began to doubt whether he could ever make her happy. As time went on, his doubts increased, and he made up his mind that he and Miss Todd were not suited to each other. After long and painful hesitation, therefore, he broke the engagement. Then followed a period of gloom and despair like that which came after the death of Aunt Rutledge. It was plain to Lincoln that the young woman loved him, and, always deeply sensitive in matters of conscience, he feared that he had done her an injustice. So harrowing became his sorrow and distress that all the melancholy in his temperament asserted itself, and he declared he could never be happy again. During the summer of 1842, however, through the good offices of friends, the lovers were brought together again, and their former relations were restored. One morning, the two young people suddenly informed Mrs. Edwards that they had decided to be married without delay. The whole affair was so unexpected that no elaborate ceremony was possible, and the bride even found it necessary to borrow a wedding gown from a sister who had been recently married. The wedding took place in the autumn of 1842, and the young couple at once began life in a simple way, in a modest hotel, where they paid $4 a week for their board. Meanwhile, Lincoln was going on with the practice of law, and at the same time he was helping to make new laws, for he was elected to the state legislature for 4 successive terms, serving continuously for 8 years, from 1834 to 1842. As a legislator, he was active and became so prominent that the Whigs nominated him for Speaker, but they, being in the minority, could not elect their candidate. While it is true that he was a leader in his party, it must be admitted that such economic and political questions as were before the people at that time did not make a strong appeal to his nature. It was the great moral questions, like human slavery, that were of absorbing interest to him, and that called into action all that was best in him, as we are to see later. Still, his legislative experience was of much value in preparing him for the great work of his later career, and it brought to public notice in an emphatic way his moral courage on the slavery question, for he had the distinction of leading a minority of 2 in a written declaration that they, he and one other, believed the institution of slavery was founded on both injustice and bad policy. Having a strong conviction that slavery was an evil, he was quite willing to face overwhelming opposition to his views, no matter what might be the effect upon his own political fortunes. In 1846, he was elected to represent Illinois in the National Congress at Washington. Here he was the same plain, simple man that he had always been, modest in dress, homely in speech, and sincere in manner. It was his habit when getting books at the library to tie them up in a bandana handkerchief. Then, slipping his cane through a knot of the handkerchief, he would sling the books over his shoulder and, quite unmindful of the smiles of those he met, he quietly went his way, deeply absorbed in his own thoughts. His first story in the lounging room of the house attracted the attention of all who heard it, and in a short time he came to be known as the champion storyteller in Congress. It is doubtful, in fact, whether Lincoln ever met his match in quaint, droll humor and in his ability to tell effective jokes, stories, and anecdotes. By these he won the favor of Daniel Webster to such an extent as to be more than once a guest at the Saturday morning breakfast given by the great orator from Massachusetts. Abraham Lincoln had not been in Congress many weeks before he introduced what are known as his spot resolutions, which became a stumbling block for his re-election. In so doing, he tried to show, as a Whig, that the Democratic administration, James K. Polk was president, was wrong in declaring that the Mexicans brought on the war with Mexico by attacking American troops on American soil. The spot where the first blood was shed, according to Lincoln, was not American soil, but disputed territory which was claimed by Mexico. Lincoln insisted that the United States government was unjust in going into this war. But though he stoutly held to this position as a matter of principle, yet he always voted with the majority when it was a question of granting supplies to the army fighting our battles on Mexican territory. He believed that the war had been brought about for the purpose of increasing slave territory in the United States, and this he bitterly opposed. So when David Wilmot introduced a bill into Congress excluding slavery from all territory which the United States might acquire as a result of the war, Lincoln strongly favored it. He said afterward that he voted for the Wilmot proviso some 40 times. Before his term of office as congressman came to an end, he introduced a bill to abolish slavery in the District of Columbia. According to this bill, slavery was to be ended in the national capital with the consent of the voters and with compensation to slave owners. Although this bill failed because it was in advance of public opinion, it showed Lincoln's firm resolution to do all he could to restrict the institution of slavery in this country.